2 Corinthians chapter 10. We'll not try to keep you too long here because I'm going to have to get louder and louder as I go to keep you awake. If you get tired, you can get up and walk around or do what you need to do. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Have you ever had a problem with comparing yourself with somebody else? I say a problem. Have you ever compared yourself with somebody else? It's easy to do, isn't it? It's so easy to do. You look around. I think it's human tendency. I honestly don't know that it's nothing you got to necessarily feel ashamed of. That's just kind of the way we are. We look at other people and we compare ourselves. We tend to put ourselves as the median, as the rule. If somebody else is taller than I am, then they're tall. If they're shorter than I am, then they're short. But we kind of tend to look at ourselves because that's all we know. We know ourselves. We know how we think. And we look at other people and, maybe they do this better than I do, or maybe they don't do this as good as I do. That's what I mean when I say that. A lot of times we just, because you know yourself. And so we tend to look at other people and I even say it loosely, judge them. Even if you don't judge them, you kind of determine some things about other people just based upon yourself. When we start to compare ourselves with other people, we come to the area of danger. I'm just going to tell you all this. There's not a lot of people here this afternoon. And do my best to relate, be down to earth with you right here. I'm just telling you, we struggle, but there's a danger as soon as you start comparing yourself with somebody else. You know, God never meant us to compare ourselves with each other. He tells us to compare or to love each other, to care for one another, to meet needs, to edify, encourage, strengthen, to weep and to laugh and whatever with each other, But God doesn't say to sit there and compare yourselves with other people because it's dangerous. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. I want you to look at that verse. You're familiar with it probably. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. Now you might have lost track with the themselves. There was a lot of themselves there. Let me read it again and you try to follow. I'm going to read it slowly. For we dare not make ourselves of the number. Okay, let me stop there. Don't make yourself of the number. Don't make yourself with one of the normal people out there that does this. It's normal to compare. Okay? So, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. Commend, to lift up. But they measuring themselves by themselves. Okay, that individual is... they're proud because they look at just themselves and comparing themselves among themselves. So they look at themselves, they think, pretty good. And then they measure themselves by each other. So, yeah, I am really doing pretty good. Are not wise. It's unwise to do that. Again, it's a human tendency to compare ourselves. We come here to church and we look and we know how faithful we are. And somebody that doesn't attend as much as I do, we label them as not as faithful. And we compare ourselves. Now, the point is not really on looking down on other people, although is that something that we need to be careful of, looking down on other people? We do. That's not the point. Really, of what I wanted to share with you, what's the danger for me if I compare myself with you? Now, I'm not even talking about on the pride issue. Go to the other side of things. Okay, Let's say that right up front here, there's Joe. And honestly, Joe is a godly man. And Joe does certain things. And I begin to look at Joe and see all that he does. And I see what I don't do. Now, that's not necessarily bad, because sometimes we can be encouraged to do things because of the example of other people. But if I start comparing myself with Joe, a lot of times I get a certain idea, then I'm not so good. Now, I'm not so good. But we can tend to get an idea inside that there's just nothing good within us. Now, there is nothing good within me, but we need to always remember what God has done with us in our lives. Now, the message is not going to be some self-motivating, lifting up of yourself message. That's not the point. The point is that we need to be very careful with comparing ourselves with people that have been blessed with other things that not necessarily God has not blessed us with. I want you to think of the body just for a moment. Are there certain parts of the body that excel in certain areas? Absolutely. You think of the physical body and the different parts of the body, and we've got internal organs. And those internal organs do so much different things, don't they? You study the body and you see what the brain does, and the brain is an amazing thing. Yet you study the heart and you say the heart is an amazing thing. And then you study the different other organs, the kidneys and the liver and the pancreas, and on the list goes of things. And yet every one of those things is certainly important for the body, and any one of those things that stops working causes a little bit of havoc in a body. And so there are certain people that would understand that there are certain things that are important. If you're having heart issues, then you would agree with me this afternoon that the heart is very important, because you see what it's not doing for you right now. And if you're having problems with the kidneys, then you would say, oh, the kidneys are very valuable. I know firsthand, because my kidneys aren't working the way they ought to. And on the list goes. We know that each one is important, and we need to be careful that we don't look at other people and their blessings and their goodness and overlook the fact that God loves us. And that's really where we're going to get to. That again, the point is not to lift everybody up today to think that we're good. The point is that God says you're good because He loves you and because He gave Himself for you. And honestly, I'll tell you what motivates you is just a situation in my life, somebody else, that was very hurt because of somebody else. Because they were looking at somebody else and feeling sorry for themselves, and it was very devastating and difficult situation in their lives. You know, this thing happens a lot of time in the home, doesn't it? Siblings compare themselves. Kids, I know there's not a lot of kids here, but kids, listen. All the kids in here, listen. God has made you special, every one of you. Every one of you children. God has made you special. And God doesn't want us to compare ourselves with the other kids to say, you know what, I'm not as good as they are because they do a better job at this. You know what, God made you special, and He's got a perfect plan for you the way you are. Now, when I say the way you are, that doesn't mean that we shouldn't try to do right and be better. By the way, I'm talking to the kids right now, but I'm talking to all of us. It would be very foolish for one of these children to look and say, well, he's faster than I am. You know, kids do that. Elementary school, go out for recess, and I'm the last one picked on the team. And you get a low opinion of who you are. And again, we're all nothing. But see, it's unwise to compare yourself. Children, don't look at your brothers and sisters and think. I've seen it happen so many times in brother and sister relationships. And that was one of the things in my family. It was tough. And there's a lot of comparison. Parents, we need to be very careful that we don't give our kids a whole lot to compare. Some of that comes through the way mom and dad treat each of the children, grandchildren, grandparents. Make sure that, I'm not saying you got to count, you know, how many pieces of whatever you give to that grandchild and the other ones. You know, you can get yourself in trouble, you know, if you got to count everything out. Life is not fair. But we're not talking about the amount of pieces of candy that you give out. I'm talking about the love that you give. You need to be careful that we don't give kids reason to compare. It's already going to be that we are different, and so naturally we're going to have areas in which we're going to compare ourselves. But just as the children need to make sure, kids, don't compare yourself with your brothers and sisters. Parents, make sure that as your children are blessed and gifted differently, your grandchildren are blessed and gifted differently, that we don't look at this grandson or that child, that daughter, that son. And by the way, it plays out here in church as well, in the classroom, in the club, in the teen group, whatever. As soon as we start comparing and distinguishing and delineating, we get in trouble. And so we need to be very careful to love each other the right way with the same love. God says that comparing ourselves with other people is unwise. Unwise. So this afternoon, I don't want to give you a message of honestly, you need to do this and don't do this, but rather, I want this to be a message of encouragement, because maybe you might even be one that feels that way. You feel like, I don't have what all these other people have. I'm the worst one at playing. I'm the teen girl that doesn't play the violin. Now, I'm giving you very practical things here, folks. This is down to earth where people struggle. Do you know that it's okay not to play the violin? Praise the Lord for those that are playing. Praise the Lord for those that God gifted certain things. But you know, everybody's gifted in a different way. We don't need to feel like the oddball that can't sing. And that's not up here singing in a quartet or a duet or a whatever. You know what? It's okay. There's some of us that God didn't intend for us those positions. We need to be careful. Many times we end up comparing ourselves with others around us, and the result is we get discouraged. We get discouraged with that we think that other people are better than us. I want to look at a couple principles from the Scriptures to help with this. And I tell you, it was on my mind because I witnessed a situation like this past week. It just made me really think, you know what, people struggle with this. And what does the Bible say about this? What do we need to understand? Would you go to 1 Corinthians? Would you go to 1 Corinthians? And let's go to chapter 12. We're going to start in verse 4. Let's look at these verses. I'm delaying here just for a moment because I'm seeing some of you fan yourself, and so I'm looking how hot it is in here. Don't want you to pass out on me. Typically, we don't have the temperature set in here. This morning was cool. I actually had to come in here and turn on some heat because it was cooler. And we're still in this time frame where at any time it can get cool and warm. And so we're not tuned to have anything on really right now. And so hopefully something's going to kick on here in just a few moments. I'll cool us down just a little bit. There you go. Obeys promptly. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 And let's start in verse 4. This is a passage speaking of the gifts. Now, I want you to just to listen to some of the things that are mentioned in this passage. Follow along as we look slowly through it. You're very familiar with it. I was in 2 Corinthians. Let me get to 1. All right. Starting at verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestations of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit of the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. All right. Now, as I just mentioned, God has blessed every person. Did you see that? How that we have one Lord, we have one body, but we have many members of that body. And every one of those people, God has blessed in a certain way. And you notice, the point is not that there's just one person in this room that has this one thing. What he means is to one, in other words, to this individual. There could be several individuals in a body that have a certain gift. Just like talents, you know, there might be a certain amount of people that can do certain things, not to confuse talents with gifts, but it doesn't mean that there's just one in a church. But God gives this one a certain thing, and this one another thing. But notice that this one might not have the same gift. Now, we have to be careful not to say, well, I don't have this gift, I don't have to do that. It's just a motivation that it's a special thing that God has given to you, maybe to do something that somebody else does not have. And God makes the body with different parts so perfectly so that the whole job can get done. Have you ever heard somebody say, if everybody were preachers, there would be nobody to listen to, right? And we laugh at that, but it's very true. Can you imagine if we were all preachers in here and we all stood up and tried to preach? It wouldn't be very effective because we wouldn't be listening to nobody. Everybody needs to listen to me. It wouldn't work. And the same thing is true with our bodies. If our body were all a big brain, 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 you know, we got 100 brains. Have you ever tried to make a decision with a bunch of chiefs and no Indians? There's got to be somebody that is going to lead. There's got to be somebody that executes. Right? The body of the church is very much made that way, and every part is individualized. Every part is blessed. We need to understand, first of all, that God has blessed each one of us with a special grace and gift. And folks, I know that seems very elementary, but you know, you might be discouraged because you don't have what maybe your brother has. Maybe your brother is the outgoing one. Maybe your, and when I say brother, I could be talking about a sister or just a brother in Christ. Maybe that person, whatever, they have the unique ability to do this. I want to tell you, even pastors, you might look at me and say, oh, pastor, you know what? When I get with a bunch of other pastors, one of the things I got to guard myself against is, wow, these guys got a whole lot more than I do. I can get discouraged sometimes. I get discouraged. I'll be honest with you. I get discouraged when I go to the Victory Conference. I do sometimes. Because I go there and I see a bunch of these people that got this and got that. And This sometimes is discouraging to me because I feel like, man, I'm way behind them. I don't feel as spiritual as these people that are. Now, that's another subject we could talk about. But brothers and sisters, I want to tell you, we've got to step back. And the point of, again, I'm going to say it again, the point is not to puff us up. For who giveth the gifts? God. Nobody can glory in any gift. The point is that God has blessed you. Do you realize, folks that are sitting out here, God has blessed you. Every single person that is in this room, God has blessed the church with you. He has. You have a unique function. You take out one body part, and I'm telling you, we miss them. Do you miss people that are not here this afternoon? I do. And I'll tell you what, we lack when they're not here. We lack when they're not here. You know, and from time to time, some of you have to miss because of something. You're sick or you're not able to be here. You're whatever. And I tell you, every time that you or we or whoever's not here, the body hurts a little bit. Now, we know that it always happens. It's something that we live with. But I don't think for a moment that people understand the significance of who they are at being a church. But it's more than just being at church. It's fulfilling what God wants us to do. You are special to this church. And I want to tell you as your pastor, I appreciate the fact that you're here. I appreciate what you do and how you listen and how you do that and how you smile and how you do certain things. And I could go around the room and there's unique things that God, whether or not that the spiritual gift that God has given to you, there are special things that you provide for this body. And I'll tell you what. It's hard, it's difficult to replace it. When you're not there, there's a lack. We're missing out a little bit on a blessing. Understand as we look at 1 Corinthians chapter, you know, this chapter 12 here, that God says, I'm given this, you know, I have given the whole body in so much blessings. And I've perfectly equipped this place. And I say, God's been good to us to give us so much. And I say it again, you're a blessing here. You're a blessing to this church. But can I say, sir, ma'am, teen, child, you're a blessing in your home. God's gifted you in things in your home. Every person, you know, all the boys, all the girls, every family, God is blessing. At work, you know what? The workplace is comprised of a bunch of people. Even at work, be careful not to compare yourself because God has put people where He wants to. Very specifically here, the church. Look at verses 12 to 14. I already read verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Notice verses 13 to 14. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink unto one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. Now, He gives us that to transition to the next. So God is given. There's no need to glory about anything because God has put us there, whether Jew, whether Gentile, all the same. So don't get thinking that you're blessed with, you know, well, boy, preacher's not preaching at me today because I am blessed with a lot of things in this church and I know why I'm here. That ought not be the mentality that we have. But I want us to go in keeping with what we're looking at here, go to verse 15. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Question physically. Is that legitimate? If the foot, take your own physical foot there. Is the foot a part of your body? What do you think? What do you think, Jim? Jim had a problem with his toe. Was it a part of the body? Absolutely it was. Jim, were you a little bit of a disadvantage when that part of the foot was hurting? Yeah, he says. And I could go around to each one of us. We all have physical things, right? It's important. You know, is there a legitimacy for the foot to look up at the... And what body part was used here? The hand? What did I just read? Verse If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand. Okay, the hand. Well, the hand really has a lot of work to do, right? The hand is very important. And by the way, the hand is important to the body. But so is the foot. If the foot looks up at the hand and say, wow, he gets all the limelight. You know, he's always out in front of people and I'm just covered in this piece of leather here and I can't, and I'm making a bunch of things up. Is it legitimate for the foot to look up at the hand and say, boy, I guess I'm not part of the body? What's the answer? That's ridiculous. If my foot rose up right now and just said, man, I'm not a part of your body because I'm not a hand. What's really being said here? It's not really a person saying that they're not part of the body. This is very practically a person saying, you know what? I don't really feel very important at this church. I just don't feel like I'm really part of this place. I just don't feel like that I can be used here. Folks, can I tell you this? That's a lie of the devil. You are. And by the way, the rest of you hands that are out there, we need to make every foot feel very important here. Everyone. Everybody needs to know that you're a blessing here. We're thankful for all that you do. That's why we need to thank everybody. Thank them for what they do. When you see that person this afternoon, we're done doing what they're supposed to do, holding the door for you, stop and say, you know what, I'm thankful that we've got people here that hold the door for us. Because it just might be that door holder that is feeling that way today. Like, I don't even know why I do this. I'm not like one of those these people, and I don't teach this class, and I don't lead this, and I don't have any place here. Folks, I want to tell you something. That's a lie of the devil. All the parts of the body are very, very important. Everyone is important. I know that this is very simple this afternoon. But you know, people suffer like this all the time. And I want to tell you something, that God has specifically given you something important to do in life. And to look at what somebody else has and does, God says, is unwise. It's unwise. You just do. If you're a foot, then you be the best foot that you can be. And you take it wherever that is. You just be that foot. And you be that foot. You know, and if God gives you to, you know, you're not a teacher or a preacher or a leader of this, but your thing is to, you know, that you show up here and you clean this and you do that. I don't know what you do, whatever you do, then you just do. Now, if God tells you to do something more than do that, I'm not promoting, you know, just don't be, you know, just be content with where you're at and don't do anything more. But I'm simply saying, don't be discouraged because of what God has given to you. You just be the best foot, because I tell you what, when the foot's chopped off, there's a problem. And there's nobody to do that thing. You know, there's going to be a problem if I don't show up to preach a message, you know, on any given Sunday. But there's going to be a problem if somebody doesn't, you know, clean the bathrooms. There's going to be a problem if somebody doesn't open the door. There's going to be a problem if nobody turns on the air conditioner or the heat. There's going to be a problem if there's going to be problems if you don't come. Can you imagine if all of you, and there's not many here in the congregation tonight, but if all of you decided tonight not or this afternoon not to come back, there would be a problem. It's important. It's important. You are important to this church, just like the foot is important to the rest of the body. So if the foot shall say, because I am not of the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? No. And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? You see, we can all look at this and say, and you can still say, Pastor, I don't care what you say. I'm really not very important here. And that person over there, they get all the glory and they just have everything together. And I don't understand why God blessed them with so much. And I'm always second and I'm always worse. And they always do everything better. And I'm never, you know, in this group. And if every one of those eyes were eyes, then we couldn't hear. And if everybody was a preacher, then there would be no listening and no obeying. And if everybody was a listener, there would be no preaching. And if everybody was a cleaner, then there would be no this. But if everybody was this and there was no cleaner. See, and I can go rounds and rounds of all the different things. Praise God for what God has given to you. Now, the only thing that we need to make sure and do is do what God's called us to do. If you're a foot, then be a foot. If you're a hand, then be that hand. If you're an eye, be that eye. If you're an ear, be that ear. Folks, you are important to God. God has blessed you, and He has blessed us with you. I just want to say to you, Faith Bible Church people, praise the Lord that you're here, every single one of you. Every one of you. It doesn't matter what you are and what you have. Praise the Lord, and I'm thankful for you. And it is because He loves you. So, secondly, all the parts of the body are very important. I want you to take your Bibles and I want you to go back to 1 Corinthians. Go to 1 Corinthians. I have chapter 2 down, but... Well, yes, look at chapter 2 and then we're going to go back to chapter 1. I alluded to this already today, just on the importance of praying for the power of the Holy Spirit. The passage was a blessing to me this past week. And here in 1 Corinthians and chapter 2, we see in the first five verses, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech." Remember, there's who had excellency of speech with these Corinthians? You remember? Apollos? You remember him? He was an eloquent speaker. And there were some in the church that followed Apollos, didn't they? Oh, he's such a good speaker. We got to follow him. And then there was, you know, Paul was the theological, and you know, he was the theologian, and some followed him, and other followed, you know, different people. He says, "I didn't come to you with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified," the gospel. "And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in trembling, and in my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of Spirit and the power and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Now, I looked at that and I said, you know what? The point is not so much that I've got this and I've got that. The point is God. God appoints us. God gives us. God does everything, and it's God that's going to do the work. When the power of God is upon us, as we are obeying God and doing what God has called us to do, amazing things are going to take place. In chapter 1, go back to chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians, there's so many things that we see here, and I don't have time to go through the whole chapter, but it's amazing that Paul sets forth that God gives, you know, he starts off, I say starts, he gets into the middle of the chapter, and he says that he's thankful that he didn't come and baptize them. And the point was is because people right then were really looking at this baptism as something like, well, this is a big thing, and he was the one that did it. And they were really lifting him up for that. He said, listen, I'm glad that I didn't do that, because then I would be getting in the way of Jesus. And that was not his plan. The plan was that God be glorified. He said, I don't want any of that. In fact, any of this proudness is not for it. In fact, he said, you know what? God chooses the weak. God chooses the simple. God chooses the inadequate. God chooses, why does he choose those? Because they can be used. Sometimes the proud that have so much talent and have so much this, you know what? They're so full of themselves that they won't be used. God uses simple people. Why do I give this to you? Because thirdly, God chooses to use those of us who simply want to be used of Him, nothing more. That's what God does. In fact, God loves to take this person, this unlikely of unlikelies, save them, wash them up, and to just blow the smokestacks off of all the greatly blessed people to say, yeah, God can't use them, but He is. Why do I give these three points to you? I want to tell you, first of all, the first thing, number one, God has blessed each and every one of you, every single one of you. Mark it down. If you're saved here this afternoon, if you're a Christian, God has blessed you. Why? Because He loves you. You've got something special for this place. Secondly, you need to be encouraged because all the parts of the body are important. Every one of you are important to this place. Don't for a moment think that you're not important. Don't for a moment let yourself get tricked into thinking, you know what, I don't have anything. I can't contribute. Understand, thirdly, that God chooses. In fact, you can be excited if you're willing to follow the Lord and obey Him, whether you're a toe or an ear or an eyelash. God has made you to do something for Him, and in fact, He's going to get a lot of glory because you are just one of these folks. And I would say here in this room today, we are just one of those folks. I don't know a bunch of people in this room that are the best this and the best that. I'm looking at a bunch of probably, and I'm not trying to defame you, I'm talking to myself. We're probably a bunch of who knows what. I don't know what body part that I should pick. We are. That's who we are. But listen, as we close, everybody listen to this. Don't walk out of here today thinking, woe is me. I'm a nobody. I can't be used. I wish I were like them. So much is going for them, not me. No. And the reason behind all this is because God loves you. He made you. He formed you perfectly the way He wanted you to be. He cares for you. I'm thinking of the song, The Love of God. Would you grab your hymnals really quick? And this love of God is talking, he's really, honestly, yeah, he might include an eye or two, but he's really talking to the eyelashes and the you know, the bump here and the knot there. The biggest point of all of this is that you recognize, you know what, you are cherished and delighted by God. The love of God, and He's talking about you. The love of God is greater far than any tongue or pen can ever tell. We're talking about the greatest love note that anybody could receive. He's talking about you. He goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair. Who's the pair? God and His Son. The Father and the Son. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave His Son to win. Win who? Did He come down to win the big old brain? Did He come down to win the most handsome and the best speaker? Who did it say came for? His erring child. He reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Of course, the rest of the verse talks about the love of God and how it's so wonderful. I don't even know why God gave me this little simple thought tonight, or this afternoon. I really don't. Something in my life, or some other people, a circumstance there made me think a lot about it. And God put it on my heart enough to give to you. I don't know. Maybe there's nobody in this room that's going through it, but maybe there is. And maybe that's the reason why I have it for you tonight, or this afternoon. Know that God loves you. Know that He's given you something special. Know that He's got a perfect plan for you. Know that you're important. And know that you can be used, and God chooses to use you because you have nothing. And that's a blessing. With that, we have everything. So just be obedient. whatever parts of the body that you are, do what God calls you to do. Not to glory in yourself, not to say, ooh, I'm one of those nobodies. Well, that's the same thing. But just to stop and just say, Lord, thank you. And I'm not going to have this attitude, because it's a sinful attitude just to sit and look around and say, I'm not like these other people. No, it's wrong. God says in 2 Corinthians that to compare yourselves with other people is unwise. Unwise. So if it's unwise, let's not do it. Let's just be content with what God has given to us. Father, would you help us? Would you help us? Lord, I hope nobody in the room takes it the other way and says that we just be content with. I'm not talking about if there's sin in our lives that we're okay with that. If we need to get right, we need to get right. But we're talking about here just the way you've made us and looking at other people that have been blessed at different ways. God, help us to never be jealous of what other people have. But Lord, may we be thankful for what you have given to us. God, help us. And thank you for your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I was praying, that brought me